Unity Radio, followed by See You at the Show, coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots, Rock, and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and I am here in the WEFT studios with my co-host, Linda Evans. Hey, Linda.
Hey, and I feel like we're joined with somebody else who's not with us anymore, who passed away this week. It feels like Rodney Woodworth might be here with us, too.
Yeah. So,
in his own way.
I know we've been thinking about him pretty much constantly since we got the news of his passing just yesterday.
Tuesday night. Yeah.
Okay. And Rodney Woodworth, if you didn't know him, then you probably weren't paying very close attention to community theater in Central Illinois. Rodney has been a fixture of activity at probably every theater that and every company that puts on shows. Tremendous person, incredible actor. The outreach that we've gotten since just in the past day has been amazing. People coming to see you at the show Facebook page and writing comments and expressing their sadness. But I know we each personally, and you, Linda, knew him, you know, quite a bit longer and better than I did.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him a lot today, so I'm sorry if I break down or anything. He was just one of those people that just touches everybody and seems to have unlimited love for people. And even he's had to deal with a lot of health issues in the last few years. And even when I knew he was not feeling well or he was going through a lot of hard stuff, he still had a smile for everyone and a hug and encouragement. He just was really one of a kind. Everybody's been saying that, but it's really true. He was kind of a bigger than life kind of person. I don't know. He's amazing.
And he loved theater so much. And there's so many performances of things that we would go to. Even I just remember when we went to Danville a couple months ago for the You Are Perfect show, and there he was in the crowd.
Right.
And we agreed to do this theater project with Tanya, and who else had, of course, volunteered to be an actor in it, and there's Rodney.
Right.
And simultaneously auditioning all the way in Danville again
for
DLO and cast in the obvious perfect role for him as Santa Claus, which was his last casting. And, you know, I guess everything that people are told is magical and wonderful about Santa Claus, with selflessness and enthusiasm and joy and caring, is kind of all wrapped up in Rodney.
Right. And he especially was wonderful with kids, so it didn't surprise me when he was a Santa Claus, because my own children, he's been nothing but extremely supportive. My kids and I have been in short films with him, and the kids have been on stage with him. I've helped produce shows that he was in, and every single time that we spent together, theater-wise or film-wise, was special, and he gave it his all, whether it was a non-speaking part or a very big part. He gives it his all, and he supports his, you know, cast. And I wish that I had spent more time with him. You know, we always do, right? And I did get the chance to spend time with him, you know, going out to dinner with him and things like that outside of theater. And he was in the middle of writing an autobiographical musical. And I have some of that, and I want to get together with some of his other friends that he was collaborating with on that. And maybe there's a way for us to still bring that to life even after his death. I think that he would like that.
Yeah, I can't wait to take a look at that and asking other people if maybe they have other bits and pieces and we could kind of fit this thing together. It's kind of, I was thinking about it earlier today, and I was thinking, who in the world would play Rodney Woodward?
I know. See, that's the only problem with it.
When you have like such a one in a million kind of a person, it was kind of funny because when we were listening to our intro music with the On With The Show, and then this Jim Broadbent, like he would be the type of guy to play Rodney, just somebody who's right. That, you know, that charismatic, that
That's actually what I was thinking of when you were playing our theme music, that it's so apropos of Rodney. Like he, On With The Show thing is what he, the way he lived his life, you know, no matter what, the show must go on.
So I guess the last time he performed in front of a crowd would have been in Kingdom of Dreams, right?
Right.
And then that was something that was the total embodiment of that, because he got hurt.
Right. So I'm so sad that I didn't go back for another viewing of Kingdom of Dreams, because the night that we went, he was recuperating from a fall that had happened while they were doing a rehearsal. And then we saw it the next night at the last dress rehearsal.
Right, it was the last dress, but I bet that if that had been opening night, he would have been there.
Well, he wanted to be there anyway.
Right.
Like Kenny kind of had to like force him to stay home and said, you know, you need to recuperate from the fall, you know, so you can be there opening night. And he acquiesced to that. But he is the epitome. I've seen him go on with, I produced Farinelli and the King, and he was in that. And there was one night when he was feeling very poorly, and I had to kind of rush to the other side of the stage. The Station Theater, there's really no way to get from one side to the other easily. So I had to go get some pills for him because he was feeling so, so bad. And he looked really bad, and he still went on, and the audience knew nothing. Like they didn't realize he still gave a great performance. And he, like one night he, during another, that whole run was really tough on him. He lost a tooth during the run and dealt with that. I mean, there were so many things that happened, and every night he was on and just as great every single night. He was so professional. He was so dedicated. He was so supportive. He would always be the first one there for rehearsals and the first one there every night of a run. And he was there for people. He was helping. He would bring his own costumes if we were having trouble finding costume pieces. I don't know. He was, anytime people were upset, he was there for them to have, you know, a shoulder to cry on or, you know, just vent. And he had an amazing way of just bringing out the best in people.
Yeah. And we're talking about Rodney Woodworth and his recent passing and the loss to the CU community generally, and kind of especially to the CU theater community, which is what we try to focus on in this show. I really didn't meet Rodney. Although I'd seen him on stage many times, I didn't actually meet him until I did Through You during Goblins and Gravediggers, when I came and you introduced him to me. And somehow between that and then the next time I saw him, I went from like handshake, nice to meet you, to hugs. And, yeah. I mean, that was just like this acceleration. And it just felt like suddenly there was this guy who was like, you know, and he finds out that we're like messing around starting a little bakery. And suddenly he's like, I didn't know this, you know, make, and then he made this big order. And it just, and then some of that's one of the things, or the type of thing that people have written and told us about is just how instantly he's just there for strangers, there for colleagues and friends, just whatever anybody would need, no matter how hard it was on him.
He worked at the credit union as a day job, you know, for the past, I don't know how many years, because I remember when he retired from the credit union, it was around the time that Goblins and the Gravedigger started. And I remember when we were chatting and I realized, or we came to the conclusion, it's such a small town, these things happen. He was like, wait, I know your dad. And he had helped my dad get a loan and things like that at the credit union. And this is before he had helped him before we realized that my dad was suffering from dementia. And so there were times when my dad would come in and not go through the drive-through and go see Rodney. And Rodney was so helpful and patient. So it wasn't just a great theater presence. He was helpful to everyone in every aspect of his life and very thoughtful and so patient. And I know that people say all these things about people when they die, but there's just a huge hole in our community, not just our theater community, but our theater, our community at large with him gone. So
we've got, I mentioned Goblins and Gravediggers. I thought that I had two clips to choose from, but apparently I only have one. We wanted to give the,
the one from Yeah, Living?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We might have another one by the time our show wraps, but we just wanted to give you a chance to see kind of, or hear, I guess, Rodney at his best. This is for Goblins and Gravedigger. You were producing that show, I believe.
Yeah.
And your kids were all in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kenny Chumley's. Was that his first musical or
no.
play that he'd written?
No, but that's the first one that I worked with him on. And we did a radio recording that we did on our show that maybe we should play again as we're getting closer to Christmas. Maybe we'll do that
again.
That's
a great idea.
We'll ask Kenny about that. And then we did a live production of the radio show with a Foley table and stuff. And so this clip is from the live production when we were promoting that.
And this is Rodney Woodworth and Pete Barrett. What's the scene? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't remember. But
just
listening.
Just get lost in the magic of his voice.
Yeah, his
right?
voice is just amazing. So.
By the time he reached the graveyard, the night was dark. The wind was stirring and snow was falling. It's getting colder, blast it. Where'd I put my flask? Ah, here it is. Just what the doctor ordered. Brave lodgings for one. Brave lodgings for one. A hole of cold earth when life is done. A stone at the head, a stone at the feet. A right juicy meal for the worms to eat. Ha! There's a thought, a Christmas funeral. They should tie a red bow around the coffin. Ho, ho, ho!
Ho, ho, ho!
What? Who's that? Is someone there? No? Must have been an echo.
It was not!
Suddenly, Grubb saw, maybe just felt, a dark shadow flit by, and the starch began ebbing from his spine. Oh, who's there?
Turn around and you'll see.
When Grubb turned, what he saw made his blood run cold, for seated upon a tombstone was a strange phantom. His shoes curled at the toes, and he looked as if he'd been sitting there comfortably for 200 or 300 years. It was a goblin, grinning as only a goblin can grin. Who are you?
A neighbor? A good neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, spit it out, man. You sound like a horse. Yes, neighbor. Friend and neighbor. What brings you here this night?
A grave. He's here to dig a grave.
Oh, who makes graves when others make merry? What's in a flask, grave digger?
Brandy.
Are you drunk?
To me knees, maybe, but no higher.
Who drinks on a night like this? Whom do we claim as our fair and lawful prize?
Ah! Well, I liked it.
That was Rodney.
Yeah, and that's just like a Rodney of more current times, but he has such a long history of, and a rich history of so many things happening in his life. You know, he was in the military for a time. He spent some time working at the Playboy Mansion out in California. I mean, he told me so many stories, and I wish that I had recorded them in his voice. I hope somebody out there, maybe in his family, has some of those things recorded, because the stories he had of his life and the things that he had experienced were just amazing. And yeah, that's a
personal lesson, and also I guess something to think about with whatever responsibilities we have or capabilities we have with this show. Like, why are we waiting to have a Rodney Woodworth show until he's passed? Why
right.
didn't we have a Rodney Woodworth show
while he
like
was
our third
alive.
Week on the air? Because he's just such a super fascinating person with rich theater stories, and
mm-hmm.
And so that's something we need to think about going forward, is celebrating what we have, not having to remember what we've lost.
Right.
But of course, we are going to remember what we've lost, because Rodney is such a memorable and important person.
Right.
And yeah, I think the stories that you were talking about him going on with the show, regardless of how difficult the circumstances were, I bet that rubbed off on everybody that he acted with.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there were times, you know, earlier in his career that he did other heroic things. Some of the people we asked, I wish we'd asked earlier, but we didn't think of it until today, for people to write tributes. And even though we're kind of dedicating today's show to Rodney, I still want to read more that people have to say. So keep them coming.
Yeah, we'll do a few right now, just a sampling of the many that have come in. And, you know, you can go to our Facebook page if you want to add your own See With The Show Facebook page. There is a posting from yesterday that people have added on. First, Paul Strain, who's one of the good friends of See You at the Show and is with DLO in Danville. He had this to say about Rodney. Rodney was a true professional, yet humble enough to ask for notes and take them seriously and incorporate them into his performance. His performance here in Danville in Bright Star and Our Town were simply master classes in the craft. He lived. He lived a life of kindness and humility that we could all strive to measure up to.
Do you want to read another one, or do you want me to read one?
David Laker. Wrote, many actors, myself included, have to work our butts off to embody a character. Sometimes it's easy. Most times we come close. I only worked with Rodney a couple of times, a murder mystery and doing makeup for his Santa. His Santa was kind, gentle, warm, and caring. His Santa was real. It's because Rodney was kind, gentle, warm, and caring. His Santa was real because Rodney was real. A good man. You will be missed.
Yeah. Kara Day said, on the rides to CUTC's murder mysteries, especially for performances on The Spirit of Peoria, the journey there revolves around the show, i.e. character interactions, what to expect, etc. The return trip, though, is more personal conversations. On one particular trip, another theater friend was discussing issues with toxic family environment that that was detrimental to this individual's well-being. Without missing a beat, Rodney Woodworth said empathetically and that he'd be their family. This is something I've seen over and over and over again. If anyone needed family, he would be your family. And once you were in the Rodney circle, you were his family, and he loved you and he cared about you and he wanted to know how you were doing. And not in one of those offhanded, you know, people feel like they have to say, "How's your day?" He really wanted to hear how you're doing. And if it wasn't the, you know, "I'm doing okay," he wanted to hear more. He wanted to hear really how people were feeling, and he wanted to be their family. I know that he had a very tough childhood and some toxic stuff in his past, and so he was very understanding of people and really wanted to be there for people, especially when they were going through hard things.
Damn it. I mean, that's what the local theater is supposed to be, right? It is supposed to be people being each other's family and people looking out for each other and people being, what were those words that David just repeated? Warm, gentle, kind, caring. I mean, and that's typically what we find. And, you know, I mean, so often, and especially maybe without shows going up, there's a lot of ridiculous drama going on behind scenes of places. But, you know, if we can all take a note from Rodney and be inclusive and be kind and be caring and be warm and be gentle.
I mean, that is another thing that we really care about. And I know Rodney cared about a lot too. And I've talked to Rodney about it, that how important it was for him for younger people, and especially people whose voices are not normally heard, to join the theater. He was so supportive of new voices and new people getting involved, and he would seek them out. When he had any say-so in casting, he would try to find people that, of course, you know, he had people that he knew right away. "Oh, I've worked with this person. I want to work with them." But he also would reach out to new people and say, "Come in. Try theater, please get involved." And he was so good at it. And he was so welcoming that people who maybe have never stepped into theater before were willing to give it a try.
And let's think about that last time that we saw Rodney, which was like less than 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So we're at the station working on Tanya's stoplight project. And we're kind of workshopping this, and Tanya's looking for ideas from the actors that have gathered there, like, about the show. And here's Rodney with so many things, I'm sure to say, so many things on his mind, all of his wealth of experience and knowledge. And we had then these three young people of color that Tanya had brought in to kind of be the centerpiece of this show. And they were just like talking over each other and interjecting and filling the room with all this energy and ideas, which was awesome. And Rodney was just loving it.
He was loving it.
And because it was hard for me, like, to want to interject my thoughts. And I was like, why isn't, you know, Rodney must have a better idea here. But it was just a really great moment of theater when I think back on it, to have that kind of youth and energy. And then Rodney was just there smiling, so happy to be part of the project. And I guess if there's going to be a great last memory of somebody like him, I'm glad I have that one.
And the last night that we saw him, we were doing this interesting subway scene where there was really no talking, and we were just doing, and he wasn't able to walk very much, so he was kind of sitting on the sidelines during that. And I came off, and he like touched my arm as I came off, and he said, "That was really great." Like, I felt like I kind of blew it off a little bit, because I was like, I just, you know, was pretending to be on a subway. It wasn't anything. But that's Rodney. Like, it doesn't matter how big or small what you were doing, if he saw something he really liked, he would say something, and he would be, and it was sincere when he said it. Because, you know, we were just kind of playing around and figuring out a scene and stuff like that. He didn't need to say anything.
You did kind of rock the subway scene.
So if anybody needs a subway scene, you know who to call.
No doubt. It wasn't just like, you know, he wasn't just puffing you up. He saw something good. And he said it. And he probably also was sensing that you didn't act much and maybe weren't feeling so secure in how you did, and he wanted you to know you killed
him. Yeah, I don't know. That's the way he is. He would feel the need to reach out to people for different things, and he didn't keep it to himself. He would just do the reaching out. He put himself out there all the time, and I have so many people who were posting pictures on Facebook of them with Rodney, and that's another thing that hit me is like, he was there for the selfies, you know, and there for getting pictures taken. He would even come up to my kids or to me and say, I want to get a picture with you. And that's a really hard thing for me. Like, I don't like my picture taken most of the time and stuff. So I really admire that in other people, that they put themselves out there and they want those pictures taken, and they embrace that so much. And he really, really did. Especially at the Penn Still Lens show, Penn Still Lens would have these big kind of award type shows and with a red carpet and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was in so many of those pictures, and he embraced that to, you know, 100%. And I love that about him. And lest people think that like he was completely humble. He did have an ego. And I have to, like, end with one last story. Is that okay?
I've got one more thing to read.
Okay. Do you want to read that instead?
Yeah, and then you close us.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So the last one we'll read of the contributions for a tribute to Rodney Woodworth was from Mike Drapetti. Although in later years, Rodney was most associated with the Santa Claus character, he was just as popular in many other roles, first appearing on the local stages in the early 1980s. I know he was very proud of his performance as Nicely Nicely in the Station Theater production of Guys and Dolls. And each night he sang the song, Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat, and it brought the house down. He was also quite good as a murder suspect in the Agatha Christie play Toward Zero, also at the Station Theater. And while Rodney was well known performing with all of the local theater groups, the theater he called home was the now defunct Sunshine Dinner Theater Playhouse, where he was known as one of the more familiar faces among that rotating group of paid actors. We can all learn from Rodney. He never had a hidden agenda or an unkind word, just a desire to perform, no matter the size of the role. And even if he was just an extra in local film, his enthusiasm was equal to the actors that had speaking parts. He truly was one of a kind, and all of us who had the privilege of working with him are better humans because of his example. Thank you, Mike.
I hope people can say that. I mean, I hope people say that about more of us. That's what we need to embody. It's interesting that Mike brought up the Sunshine Dinner Playhouse, because during a recent move, I found a glass that I'd forgotten about from the Sunshine Dinner Playhouse Theater. And Rodney and I had discussed that part of his history and that time and things like that. And I happened to be drinking out of that glass when we got the information that he died. And it was during a Station Theater board meeting, and I was, you know, it's a couple hours long, and so I was drinking out of the glass, and I kept thinking, I need to send a picture of this glass to Rodney, because we really hadn't talked about the theater company in a while, and then we got the information that he had died. So I will always look at that glass and think of him and appreciate him. And I have more stories that maybe I'll share next week for a little bit, if you'll indulge me with that.
Yeah, and please, I guess, come to see you at the show Facebook page for more information about Rodney. We'll also share information as we find out if there's a memorial, etc. And the other theater-related things that we were going to get to this week just had to take a damn backseat.
They did, and so, we will post them to our Facebook page.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on See You at the Show. This one's for you, Rodney. Coming up next, Surfability Freakout.
You are listening to WEFT Sham.